Legendary, if you ask me.
That's as close as you'll get to greatness, you peanut. Shut up.
You will be dealt with. Period, period.
Cut that, you tiger mongrel!
Sickening and stupid, and you won't care.
How do you do? And welcome back to Opinionated, the podcast for opinionated people by opinionated people, hosted by yours truly, Amy Williamson. And as always, I'm joined by Stephen Trojanovsky.
And as always, we're joined by our live studio audience.
I am. Can we just clarify that we just had like a 20-minute discussion about saying how do you do?
Well, I just got over how formal our intro is.
Yeah, Stephen was like, maybe you don't say hello. And then I started just throwing things out there. I went, how do you do?
Yeah.
And then he was like, if you don't say it, I will.
Yeah. It was a how do you do or how do you do?
Yeah. I don't really know what's the proper way of saying it. Anyways, we've done it now. We've committed. But yeah, welcome back to all our friends of the pod, wherever you are. Shout out to friend of the pod, Auntie Kate.
Shout out. Hello,
who's
Auntie Kate.
In France. And
bonsoir.
I know that she was hanging for the pod to be back.
Mm.
So we just thought we'd, you know, give a toast.
Yes,
hey.
A toast. Wait,
you're going to have to can we lean? I don't think we can lean that far. There we go. Cheers, our Prosecco. Anyways, Stephen.
I don't think it's a Prosecco. It was $9 for a Woolworths.
Was it? Yeah. Did you get it at the Woolworths here?
I got it from the Woolworths. Yeah, I think it's a sparkling. I don't know. Sparkling rosé.
Oh yeah, that's a sparkling something.
It's a sparkling something. It's a cuvée. Mm,
yeah. It's a Cardonnay.
Yeah, it's a nice drop.
It's Cardonnay. You pack a shot. I was scared that I wasn't going to say the joke right then, and I was just going to say a very offensive word.
All right, fine. Chardonnay, a pack of shunts.
I always get scared saying it though. Anyways, how are you?
Look, I'm really good. Yeah. I'm great. Although I had a work event party last night, and this is probably why I don't drink, even though we're drinking a nice sparkling now. But I just don't know when to stop. And it's to the point where, like, no return.
Oh, my God. Did it get to no return?
It got to no return. It got to the point where Soldier Boy came on.
Why is it still coming on?
It's. I think it's gotten to the point now where it's a classic. You know, everything old is new again. The 90s are
back. It's going to start getting played at weddings. We'll be, like, 40 years old and our kids will be, like, whipping and nae nae.
And we'll be doing the Superman.
Yeah, 100%.
Now Superman that hoe.
So, yeah, how'd you go? Did you get embarrassing?
No, I don't think I got embarrassing, but we'll find out. I didn't go to work today, so we'll find out. But no, we'll find out tomorrow.
And
I guess.
Were you soldier boying?
Of course I was. Of course.
No, love that.
Soldier Boy did the Grease medley.
Yep.
The Nutbush. It was all happening.
All that.
No, they didn't do the Nutbush, which I did.
I love the Nutbush.
How was your week? Oh, it was also Valentine's Day as well, which is nice.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice.
It's a catch for your throat. Hey, this is really off topic, but friend of the pod, Brendan, messaged me. He obviously listened to last week's episode, and you'd love this, Stephen. It's right up your alley. He sent me a message saying, "Did you know that the Kath and Kim website had a soundboard?"
Get out.
Yeah. And
oh, my God. Is it better than our soundboard?
he was like, you know, it used to be like, there's a thrall for your call.
Does it have this, though?
Why don't you go tell your mom to shut up?
No, look, I don't think it did.
No?
But he said he was like, it used to be a classic. It was a bit slow on the old dial-up, but you should check that out, Stephen.
Yeah.
I just literally came home, ate one sausage, and then came to do this pod because I had a Zumba class.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Zumba. I feel like I've spoken about Zumba on this pod before.
We love Zumba.
I love it. I feel like it's one of those things that you feel like you're such a sexy Latina when you're doing it.
Shakira.
But you would absolutely die if anybody, like if anyone was in the class that I knew, wouldn't do it.
No.
Oh my God. And it's like the ultimate test of a relationship if you're ever going to let a guy you're dating like come to a Zumba class with you because no one looks hot doing it.
No, it's not sexy at all.
No, it's not sexy.
I used to do Zumba and then I also was invited by the Zumba instructor to do a class called Danzika.
Of course you were.
She said it was like a modern Zumba. So I went and it was run by the same person. And then I think I might have talked about this on the pod already, but I came to the conclusion that it was just another Zumba class with different music run by the same person.
Yeah.
And she wanted us to go to two classes. But we did like the burlesque soundtrack and it was quite sexy.
I have this theory about all Zumba instructors. All like they're so over the top.
Yeah.
That it's almost like, okay, just imagine if you like dropped 8 acid tabs and you were to see like a normal person, that's what a Zumba instructor is. Like you think... Like, you think they're being a normal person, but they're just so over the top. Like, this song was, like, licking her lips. She was pretending her hand was a camera, and she was, like, taking selfies, and she was, like, running around and making people in, like, that were doing the Zumba class pose for this selfie, but it was just her hand as the camera.
Oh, my God.
It got super weird as well because, I mean, mind you, it was the funnest class I've ever been to because the median age in there was, like, 65.
Oh, nice.
So, like, instantly it was, like, fit and sexy.
They were ruined by arthritis.
Oh, yeah, they were. So, it was a bit slower. Not really,
they're not really limber, their hips don't lie.
Yeah, but this woman was nuts. She was throwing out like the rock on symbol. She was pouting. She was like wiping her head, and she was like pulling her sleeves up, like getting gangster.
Yeah.
She was so like, they're so over the top. The facial expressions. I really want you to come to one of the classes. But it was also sort of like an event calendar of Zumba instructors. There was 5.
5 instructors in one.
Do you know what it was like? She brought her friends who just happened to all be, I don't know if they were training or all just Zumba, and like one song, and then like this other woman would get up, and there was like this 60-year-old Filipino lady who I was living for.
Fabulous.
She had this scrunchie in her hair, and she had this long ass hair in like a high ponytail, but she had not like, she, I don't know if she had an idea what she was doing. But she kept forgetting. So she'd do one step and then she'd forget, and everyone would just sort of be shaking their hands. And then she'd start doing something again. Nothing was in time. And then she left, and then she like got her car keys. I was like, okay, I'm going. Enjoy the rest of your class. And then she came back like 15 minutes later with her car keys intact because she left her phone there. So poor old lady is really losing her marbles.
Oh, poor thing.
But it was just bizarre.
Zumba is a bit bizarre though.
Yeah, name one Zumba instructor who isn't too screws loose. I am obsessed with them. Zumba instructors are like the sort of people that you want to go out and have a drink with because you know they're just going to be absolutely jats crackers. They're jats crackers.
Yeah, no, they are jats crackers. Yeah. But I also love it when you watch like a Zumba video, because I do it in my lounge room. You can watch videos on YouTube. Mm. When you watch one of them, they're always filmed at like these big events with like 200 people doing it. And it actually feels a little bit culty. Like all these.
Oh, yeah.
It is. Yeah. It's a little bit culty. It's, like, drink the Kool-Aid.
It's almost like when we were talking about like Arbonne and stuff.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that sort of like, you know, Arbonne's sort of culty.
I think it's the same kind of clientele.
But at least with Zumba, you sort of get something that benefits you out of it.
Yeah. Do you though? It's not, look, if you think it's a good workout, it's really not that
much. It's good cardio.
It's good cardio.
I mean, I sweat, so.
Yeah, you lose some calories, but you're not going to really.
That stupid cat's put my dang laptop charger out. I'm going to die soon. Actually, hold on a second. How was your Valentine's Day?
Oh my God, it was really good. But hang on, we just got through like a whole like Zumba moment without me even using our soundboard once, and I had to use the iconic Shakira tongue noise.
Have we had any feedback about your soundboard yet?
No, but I think that's a good thing.
No, I think it's a bad thing. I think I need people to band with me here. And I need you to help me abolish the soundboard.
No, I think it's more interactive. But no, okay, back to your question.
I had one good thing, and that was friend of the pod, Steph.
Mm.
She said she loved it, but then again, we could literally sit here and eat white bread for 2 hours and she would love it. No one's a friend of the pod quite like her. But yeah, how was your Valentine's?
VJ was really nice. Look, I had to work during the day, but I went out for dinner afterwards. I went to Philippe, which is this really nice little French restaurant. Mm-hmm. But I had to get Paul a little gift. And look, it's a bit of a funny story, but a while ago Paul collects like Le Creuset, like pots and pans and like kitchenware, right?
The Le Creuset, the Moulin.
Le Creuset, Mille, they're all there. Yeah, so now he always has, it's the red colour that he collects. So yep. I bought him the juicer a while ago and I saw it at Davy Jones and I'm like, okay, I want to get it from the Le Creuset store because if something happens, I can always take it back. Went to the Le Creuset store and the girl there was like, look, we don't have it in red, but we have it in blue. And I said, no, I really need something in red. She goes, what about a spoon holder? A spoon rest? It's so classy. And I looked at it and I said, it's pretty classy.
Okay, do you know that just reminds me of that scene when Kath and Kel, and they've made those two friends when they're going on the walk?
That's what the spoon rest is for.
And he would say, that's what the spoon rest is for, Kel. Yeah,
she really tried to sell me the spoon rest.
Yep.
And tried to push it as, it's so classy. It's a classy thing. She's like, it's so classy. And I'm like, she's right. It's really bloody classy. So I told Paul and he was pissing himself laughing. So I had to buy him for Valentine's Day.
The fucking spoon rest?
The spoon rest.
How much is a spoon rest?
$45.
Well, it's actually not that bad. I mean, yeah. It's still pretty, like, it's expensive.
For somebody to put your spoon.
Yeah, for somebody to put your spoon, a bit of paper towel will do that.
Yeah. Even just the kitchen bench.
I was going to say, even the kitchen bench to get a bit better for Wet-X and a squeegee and you'll be fine.
Oh, but it's so classy.
Anyway, yeah, so you've got your so classy spoon holder.
Yeah. So that was my V-Day. It was gorgeous.
Oh, did he get you a present?
Well, dinner.
Oh, and you got him a spoon rest?
Yeah.
You didn't get him the juicer, you got him the spoon rest?
I got the juicer a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
And then it just led to me getting the idea of the spoon rest. It's classy. It's so classy.
So unless you have a spoon rest, you're not classy.
No, it's so classy. I'm going to drink my sparkling Gouvet here from Adelaide and think about my spoon rest.
Okay.
On Sunday, we woke to the news that former host of Love Island UK and all-around legend Caroline Flack had passed away and the cause was suicide. Amy, did you hear about this?
I did.
Shocking.
I just remember her because she dated Harry Styles. Mm-hmm. First of all, when I saw it, the post, Charlotte Crosby from Geordie Shore actually posted saying that's how I saw. And then I started reading about it. I was like, surely not. And then I started reading about all that was happened to her. And it was like, as horrible as it is, you're kind of like, oh, okay, yep, I can see how she would do that.
She's sort of another victim of the media.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and we saw this happen so many times with other people. And she's not the only person to pass away from suicide who was actually on Love Island as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, given she was the host, but there was two contestants from previous years. There was Sophie Gordon and Mike Thalassis.
So were they...
They were contestants.
Suicide? No, but were they both suicide?
They were both suicide, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that in a minute, but in the coming months before Caroline's suicide, she was getting some really bad press.
Yeah, because wasn't she being charged with assaulting her ex-partner?
Yeah, with a lamp. Yeah. And then coming up to Valentine's Day, there were lots of jokes about that. Like people were writing e-cards that said, like, I love you enough that I would smash a lamp on you or something stupid like that. But she was obviously heard about it.
Yeah, of course.
And it caused her to step down from hosting Love Island as well. So everything was sort of coming to an end for her. She was sort of technically unemployed. She didn't have a hosting gig going on. And now she's in the media because she was charged for assault, essentially.
Once somebody goes through that, it takes such a strong person to sort of pull themselves out of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really good friends with Ricky Nixon, who I'm sure anybody who has Google knows who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he was somebody who went through a massive scandal, he had a great lucrative career. He lost it all. It was one of those things that he was the butt of all the jokes. And I respect the hell out of him, and he's always been someone that I defend because he's such a kind person. But he's somebody who has literally dug himself out of that. Like, instead of just going, this is too hard, he sort of got back up and he's killing it.
Yeah.
But it's like, I remember when we were friends and I was getting a lot of people were still questioning, why are you friends with him? Why are you friends with him? I'm like, because he's a really nice guy and he's got my back. But it's such a tough thing, and so many people would just take the easy way out. I'm really thankful he didn't, but I can see how you would resort to that.
Well, going back to Caroline and Mike and Sophie from Love Island and their suicides, it sort of reminds you of sort of like a curse of the reality TV show.
Yeah, it's
because
horrible.
Because it happens so much. And when you're on the show, they don't – like, the show is safe in itself because you're behind walls and you've got cameras, you've got producers and everyone's there. But once you leave the show – no one really teaches you how to deal with this sudden fame.
No, and you're right. I've been approached to go on a reality show. I'm not going to mention it, but one of the things that I did have to weigh up, I was like, am I strong enough to sort of deal with the backlash that I would get? And because I'm quite a loud, confident woman, a lot of people – It's like that curse. Whenever you hear a confident, loud, funny chick, people always tend to bring them down. It's like sort of sit in your box, and people have always got an opinion.
You're right.
And I don't know if I would be strong enough to handle. I mean, I would, but in the sense that I would have to give my phone to one of you guys and go, I need you to block all the comments because I just can't read it.
Yeah.
Because it's horrible.
We have a friend who does that for someone, for a social media influencer. She takes, one of our friends takes care of her social media because the girl just can't deal with it. And she gets a lot of hate. I read her. We won't mention her name, but
we read
her comments and they're pretty savage.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah. But this sort of got me thinking, this is all, look, in my opinion, this is the press sort of has a big role to play
100%
here. And
they do.
The blame, you don't want to point fingers, but the blame is probably with the press. And an online petition calling for a review into the media after her death, it's attracted already 200,000 signatures.
Well, it's like, I strongly believe that if you bully someone and that person then takes their life, I do think you should be charged.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say murder, but I would say definitely manslaughter, even involuntary manslaughter, because you have pushed that person to the point where they don't feel like they have an option out.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of, there are more cases that are suddenly now going to trial where that is becoming a thing and they are actually charging the people with it. But I think the media here should be accountable, and I feel like those people that have written those articles 100% should be accountable and they should be charged with something, because you can't push someone to the point where they feel like they have no out and you're fueling the fire.
Yeah, you're right. Let's bring it back to Australia for a little bit, because the closest sort of relevant TV show at the moment is probably Married at First Sight.
Yeah.
And the people who go into Married at First Sight, you would assume most of them go on there to find a husband and get married and live happily ever after. It's happened to maybe one of them in the past.
Yeah, literally.
But let's sort of read some of the articles that are going around at the moment, just from this week, and give me your honest opinion.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna read the headline. Okay.
Hit me with it.
All right. So first one is, math star Hayley Vernon goes completely topless at Sydney Beach. That's it. That's the headline.
So many people go topless at a beach.
Like, you know what I mean?
Why is that making a headline?
But it's sort of like, to me, it's sort of like an underline, sort of like punch in the stomach a little bit because of the way she looks as well.
You know what, though? I think Hayley is, I'm a real big fan of Hayley. I know that.
She's a bit of an icon.
I've really come around to her. I hate her husband.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that she's sort of unapologetically herself.
Yeah.
And I think she's also somebody who would read that headline and go, who cares? So is everyone else. So I think she's strong enough to handle something like that. But I don't think it's that bad. But like, who cares?
No. Well, here's another. Math star Hayley Vernon gets a lap dance from a male stripper.
Well, are they? Do they have like her on Find My Friends or something?
That's it. let's find another one. Here we go. Married at First Sight. Bogan Hayley. They call her Bogan.
Oh my God.
Bogan Hayley cries when David reveals the real reason he can't stand her as Alex Michael decides who should stay and who should go.
What?
I know.
I'm sorry.
I know.
Why are they just targeting this one girl?
Yeah. Well, there is a few others. Here's another. Married at First Sight's Ines Basic. So Ines is from the previous season. Poses in tiny green bikini and pushes her cleavage together to promote fake tanning products. That's the headline of an article.
Okay. I'm sorry. These are so boring. Who cares?
Yeah. Former math star Ines Basic shows off her bikini body.
Honestly, what this reads to me is that the Australian media is so crap.
Yeah.
Clearly, that's what it's reading. Like, you, whatever site you've got this off, hire new people because I'm bored sitting here.
This is for Stacey Hampton.
Yep.
She looks like a plastic surgery victim. Fans react to Stacey Hampton as she takes off her makeup for first time on Married at First Sight.
She looks the same with makeup. It's the exact same.
But you know what I mean? These articles get written by – I don't even think they're written by people. They're probably written by robots.
They're not necessarily too – like, some, they're not too mean.
Yeah.
But it's also just annoying. Like, let these people have lives. They've gone on one show.
Exactly.
And you're absolutely – and, like, I think the others have gotten a like – look, let's talk about Poppy. That girl Poppy on there, he gets this really lovely guy.
Mm-hmm.
And she – oh, I miss my kids. It's got nothing to do with her kids. That has nothing to do with her kids. It's the fact that she's not attracted to him.
Yeah, you're
she right. thinks that she deserves somebody who's better looking, and she's doing the nice girl thing and blaming it on her kids.
And she's not going to waste her time when she could be at home with her
kids. Because she knew that she was leaving her kids behind to go on that show.
Yeah.
So you don't then suddenly walk down the aisle and go, actually, no, I can't do this. Shut up. You're just trying to be polite, which I do appreciate that she hasn't shamed him on TV. But like, why aren't we talking about them? Why are we picking the two women who are very confident in themselves, very strong, and we're now suddenly trying to bring them down?
Yeah. I think the media tries to make reality TV shows bigger than life and bigger than what they are.
Yeah, and there's always one person that they target.
Yeah, they do.
Like, it was Jessica Power last season. I mean, she did some things to fuel that fire. but, you know, they were all about Jessica Power. Yeah. They were all about bringing her down. And now it's like Hayley has become the new Jessica.
Yeah. So they've called her drug addict Hayley and recovering drug addict Hayley. And she's not recovering. She's recovered.
Yeah, she's recovered.
Bogan Hayley. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Her name is Hayley and that's it.
You don't need to use those what is it, adjective?
Yeah,
adjectives are like words, a describing. Yeah. Yeah, with her. Just call her by her name.
Yeah, call me by your name. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Now, because I did a hour-long Zumba class, I did have another crime story to tell you guys. But I'm going to save that for next week. And instead, I'm going to talk about somebody who I've obsessively stalked and I feel like I'm going to find the answers to, although I never will, this week. We're going to talk about DB Cooper.
Please explain.
Okay. So DB Cooper, I don't know the years. Like when I say I've got no facts, I have no facts. Let's just say it was in the olden days, like the 70s maybe.
I can. You can.
Please explain.
I mean, I can probably Google this, but I don't care. You can Google it. So DB Cooper, what happened was he got a little flight from, I don't know, Tennessee to somewhere, who cares again. Back then you could board a flight. You didn't need to show ID, a passport, anything. He basically paid $20 cash, got his airline ticket. So you had to show no ID. So you could go up there and say your name was anything.
Oh yeah. You jump on the plane, you check your handgun in the overhead, yep. Your ski mask.
Well, there was also no security.
Yeah.
So there was no security checks. I could walk up there and say, my name is Princess Gonzalo Banana Hammock and just walk straight in.
Walk in there like you're Mr. Qantas himself.
Yep. So there was a man in a trench coat in a nice business suit. He wore aviators and he went up and he said, my name is Daniel Cooper. They gave him a ticket. He gets on the plane. The plane then takes off and he gets a gin and 7-Up and starts just drinking it and then just starts chain smoking because back then you could smoke on the planes. He then hands the stewardess a note.
Smoke weed every day.
I hate your soundboard. He then hands the stewardess a note. She first of all thinks that he's just hitting on her. So she just sits down and ignores it. And then he continuously stares at her until she eventually goes, maybe I should read this. She opens up the note and it says, I have a bomb on this plane.
Oh, so, a scandalo.
So she then goes over there. He opens up this briefcase, which inside was what looked like a bomb. Mm-hmm. So she calls another stewardess over and he then starts saying demands. He was like, what I need you guys to do is I need you to tell the pilot that I have a bomb and I need them to go back to the traffic controllers and say I want $200,000 cash and a couple of parachutes. I need a main parachute and a safety parachute and I want it on the tarmac by the time we land this plane. Otherwise, I'll blow this up and everyone will die.
$200,000? That's it?
I'll get to that. So they then tell the traffic control and they were like, yep. So they contact some banks. The government's like, sure, we'll pay it. They land the plane. They then get everyone off. All the passengers get off. One of the stewardess gets off. Then there's one stewardess and all the flight crew. The stewardess goes off, gets the bag of money and the parachutes, comes back, hands it to him. The plane takes off. They then say, where do you want to go? He says, New Mexico is nice or something. And they say, look, we don't have enough fuel to get there. Pick somewhere else. These are two options we can give you. He went, yeah, let's go to this place in America. Then halfway through the flight, he turns around to the stewardess and says, I need you to go into the cockpit with the pilot. So the stewardess goes into the cockpit and then DB Cooper takes his tie off his neck. He puts a parachute on. So first of all, when he asked for the $200,000, he didn't say what sort of notes he wanted them in. So they were all in like tens and stuff. So he had it was 20 pounds worth of money.
He was cashed up.
Yeah. He strapped to his body, put a parachute on. And the stewardess noticed that the cabin door was open. So he opened the door and jumped out of the plane.
He jumped out of the plane. Mm-hmm.
So he jumped out of the plane. They then land the plane and they're what the hell's just happened sort of thing. So then it became this massive search because they were like, it was a heist and he took everyone hostage. He never hurt anyone. So it's sort of like one of those things, like, is he a real criminal or is he not?
I think he's a real criminal. I would say I would put my $200,000 on he's a real criminal. Well,
the way he got the name D.B. Cooper was they started putting it in the papers, and one of the papers called him D.B. Cooper, and one of the arresting officers they didn't arrest anyone, but one of the guys working it from the FBI actually said to the paper, correction, his name's Daniel Cooper.
Yeah.
So it's D.A. Cooper, as his ticker said, and they said, no, but D.B. sounds a lot nicer. So that's how he got the name D.B. Cooper.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Now becomes the mystery part of it. So they then start looking at all these leads. They start – I mean, I've got my theories, but I don't want to bore you with that as to who I think it is. They then – another job happens the same way, but this time with $500,000. Same thing happens. And they actually found that guy. It was a copycat. And the way that they found him, he was in a pub. And when that happened, he turned to somebody. And he was in, like, the military, and he worked in pilot of flights and stuff. And he said – I could do that and I could pull that off, but I wouldn't make the mistake of asking for $200,000. I'd ask for $500,000. So he'd said this. He had had a few drinks in the pub, said this to someone, and then when this happened, one of the people in the pub gave an anonymous tip. They raided his house. They found a couple of parachutes and $500 cash. He went away.
Nice.
Now, D.B. Cooper has never been found. So they have done tests to see if he can survive jumping out of a plane with a parachute at that altitude. They when they gave him the money, they recorded all the serial notes. And then it was about, years later, dad and a son are walking along like a river, and they start digging because I think they were going to set up their fishing rods or something. And the kid's like, what's this? And he finds a stack of money.
Oh, wow.
So they then keep digging and they find more stacks of money. And then they hand it to the police. The police match the serial numbers, and it was from D.B. Cooper's stash.
Oh, wow.
So they're not sure if he had either, because it was nowhere near, like, where he would have jumped out of the plane. That money was never found anywhere close to where he could have landed. So they're not sure if he had stashed it, if it was more a case of it had travelled in a river, but it was a really long distance to travel in a river.
Yeah.
And this money was, I mean, whilst it was, you know, in bad shape, they could still identify it. So there's been all these different sort of theories but no one really knows what he is. They had deposit sketch out there, but he wore aviators the whole time. People were like, they thought he was somebody of money because drinking 7-Up and gin back then was apparently classy.
Like spoon rests.
But honestly, but the way he's sort of known is that he is one of the world's smartest criminals because he pulled off such an elaborate thing. I mean, and they've had parachute experts who are like, he grabbed the wrong parachute. How could he survive that? But no bodies have been found. The money. And I feel if he was to die, you would find the body and the money.
Well, you might not necessarily find the body, but what's a bit fishy is where the money was found and how far away it was from
exactly
where he jumped.
Where he would have possibly landed. And like they've put men up there and they've done so many tests.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that – because when he jumped as well, it was like lightning, it was raining, the conditions were poor. But still – nobody has any idea. There, I have this theory. There was this one guy, and he went to the police. And I don't really know why they never fully took this they never really looked into this guy further. But he was a military pilot. He was trained in using parachutes. He went and bought a house suddenly, a large house in cash. Mind you, he was unemployed at the time. He came from a service background.
It was him. It was him.
He looks like the sketch.
It was him.
And I don't know why, when I've been doing my investigation and my research, I'm obsessed with him. I don't really know why this, like when you read the documentaries, it's sort of just like, oh yeah, well, he looks like the guy and he bought money. Anyways, next suspect. And I'm like, what do you mean next suspect? Let's go back.
Sometimes I think it's almost like the police are a little bit lazy. I watched on 60 Minutes the other night. Mm. Remember that woman that was killed by her husband,
Karen Rostevsky?
She's her own Louvre.
Yep.
When they reported that, when the daughter reported that to the police, do you know what the policeman said to her?
What?
She's probably playing don't worry, she's probably out playing the pokies. She was dead. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, the police actually said that to her. Don't worry, she's probably playing the pokies.
It's horrible. Like, do your fucking job sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm all for police service people. I'm very respectful to them, and I think they're doing an amazing job.
A lot of them are friends of the pod.
But some of the times when, like, those few that just go, no, it's fine. They should be held accountable.
Yeah.
Do your goddamn job. I genuinely think that I know who D.B. Cooper is, and why is no one looking into it? Anyways, he's incredibly fascinating. If you guys are looking for someone to look into and become obsessed with, become obsessed with him.
Amy, how do you know these things?
I just – do you know what it is? I will search documentaries on Google and I will just start watching them, and then I start reading articles, and then I just become really fascinated with them.
You know what I Google when I get in a hole watching?
What?
Fashion historian fact checks Frozen, the movie. They go through all of her costumes from Anna and Elsa, and they fact check them to make sure that they're historically accurate.
Are they?
They also did them to Mulan. They also did it to Mary Poppins, which is really inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blast to watch, Amy. It's on Architectural Digest on YouTube. I think you'll love it.
I don't think I will.
I don't think you will either.
Each to their own, really. Up in the sky, pop the champagne, living my life in the fast lane. I want to change by the glamorous.
Amy, friends of the pod, we have a situation.
Oh, do we?
The Australian icon, legend.
Me.
Delta Goodrem. is being stalked.
Oh, okay, so it's actually
we
me.
We need
yeah.
this to stop.
Mm-hmm, I yes. feel you.
So an unemployed Grafton man, Grafton's in Sydney,
mm-hmm.
Named James Lafferty was fined today for stalking Delta Goodrem.
James Lafferty is the name of the guy that's on One Tree Hill.
It's probably the same person.
One Tree Hill. No, because the guy who plays Nathan Scott on One Tree Hill, if he was stalking you, you would open your door. You would welcome him in.
Well, this article doesn't quite clarify that, because it does say that he's unemployed. And I don't know if you know this, but One Tree Hill has been axed.
Mm. Anyways, keep going. Tell me more. Well,
on Valentine's Day, mm-hmm. he rocked up to her apartment building and spoke to her concierge and gave her a gift. It was roses and some chocolates. I don't know if the chocolates were also roses, but that would be quite nice.
Do you know what? Do you know what I'm just talking about? Friend of the pod, Zach, is like weirdly obsessed with Delta Goodrem and always like posts things being like, this is Delta's best album. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to be so upset by this. I don't know anyone who really is a fan of Delta Goodrem besides Zach, and clearly now you.
Well, hopefully he can learn to believe again and look into her innocent eyes, because she's lost without you. Anyway.
Jesus.
Come on, darling. Born to try. Okay. Anyway. So then he effed off. He came back the next day and was talking to the concierge again. So then the concierge calls Delta Goodrem up in her apartment. I'm assuming a sub penthouse of some such. And says.
Hi, roller.
She's classy. She's got a spoon rest.
She's got a spoon rest.
I'm sure she's got a spoon rest.
The Mulan.
And basically says, look, this guy's here. He's saying that he's been talking to you on Instagram. Should I let him up or what? And she's like, no, I don't know who this person is. She checks her Instagram. You know how you can, like, if someone sends you a message and you're not following them, it goes into your DM requests.
Yep.
Yeah, I never check them. And I've got some corkers in there, I'll tell you what. Actually, that could be fun. We could open it up and read them.
I remember I was going to say that we're going to do that once. I feel like we did this, like we went through our message requests.
Maybe we did.
Because mine was like, hello, sweet baby. Yeah, we did. We did. We definitely did, because mine was like, hello, sweet baby angel.
Yeah, mine was like,
maybe I should. You know what I'm going to do? If I get one this week, I'm going to respond to it and I'll let you guys know how it goes. Yeah. I'll respond being like, hello, baby. Yeah. Love me.
Oh, look, in my DMs, it's Delta Goodrem. No, it's not. Anyway, so she checks her DMs and finds thousands of messages from him saying things like, I'm at the concierge. I'm in the front of your building.
No.
I love you. He sent hundreds of poems, like love poems, which I would love to read.
If I was in a relationship with them, if somebody ever sent me a love poem, that'd be the end. It'd be the end of the relationship.
It would be. No, it's so nice, though.
Ew, I could think of nothing worse than being like, hello, baby. I love it when my lips touch your lips. I'm thinking about your mesmerizing hips.
Who's that for, Shakira?
I don't know.
I can't click on my soundboard. I'm reading something.
I've had too much Prosecco.
So he says, I sent her 300 poems. You'd think she'd at least reply.
Before
he smashed his phone in court and said, what am I guilty of? Bring someone a rose and chocolates. Yes,
you are guilty of that.
You're guilty of bringing someone a rose and chocolates. Unacquainted love. And also rose, plural.
She is a judge on X Factor. She deserves more than a single rose. She deserves a whole box of roses.
And you know it'd be from like roses only or something.
Yeah.
He's used Afterpay.
Speaking of
Well, you know what, though, actually, before I get into the next thing.
Yeah, it can.
It's actually quite nice to know that Delta Goodrum still has a good, still has a fan.
I just told you, she's got two. She's got Zach.
She's got Zach and she got...
Zach's still posting about her greatest hits. Yeah.
And she's got James Lafferty.
Yep.
Unemployed.
Unemployed man from Grafton. From
Grafton. Not to be confused with the guy from One Tree Hill. Okay, speaking of The Voice.
Yeah.
Did you know, apparently, there's a rumour going around that they're going to bring back Australian Idol.
Oh, Jesus. Unless they're bringing back Marsha Hines, Dicko and Mark Holden, I don't even talk to me.
I really think it would fail.
Are they going to do the... well, I mean, yeah, I think... No.
Singing in this shows day and age, though. Like, back in the day, you would watch Australian Idol and
you,
then you would,
could put any... Dancing with the Stars is still going, for God's sake.
Oh, all 4 weeks.
No, it is. Who it's still going.
About, yeah, I know. But
Travis,
like,
Cloak's on it this season. Do you know who's also on it? Dean Wells from Married at First Sight is technically a celebrity. Do you know Dean is?
Who told you that?
Well, I mean, he's on Dancing with the Stars. He's apparently a star, which
you
he isn't.
You know who a celebrity is?
Who?
Delta Goodrum.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, get back. I feel like this Prosecco is going to my head.
It's not quite Prosecco.
I mean, this sparkling or whatever. Maybe I should have another one and just get slightly tipsy and let's just see how this night goes.
Yeah. But okay, so they're bringing back Australian Idol, apparently. But honestly, I think in this day and age, I really don't think it's going to work. Mm. Back in the day when Australian Idol was on, we're talking about like Go The Fro.
Delicious, yeah.
What was that, 2003?
What?
2003 was Guy Sebastian and Shannon
Oh, yeah.
Knoll.
Yep. I don't know. I mean, I'm not...
Well, back in the day, there wasn't much offering to watch on TV. So it was something that the whole family could get around. You'd all watch it. You'd all
oh,
get excited.
We did, yeah.
You'd talk to everyone the next day about...
You would buy girlfriend magazines. You could get your poster and see if you were Team Gannon. Team Gannon. I've had too much Prosecco. Team Guy or Team Shannon?
Yeah. Who was Team Shannon?
We were.
I was Team Guy.
No, my mum was Team Guy.
Go me, the fro.
Me... Me and my sister were a real Team Shannon Knoll. And then when he lost, Sarah started crying and I saw her crying, so I started crying too. I don't think I was that invested. I think I just wanted to also be passionate.
Oh, what about me?
But it was a fucking robbery. Continue.
No, it wasn't.
It absolutely was a robbery.
Shannon Knoll against Guy Sebastian.
No, Guy Sebastian actually, funnily enough, I think it was The Bachelor when – who did it? Well, someone didn't win The Bachelor. He picked the wrong one. And he posted a tweet and it was like, this is the biggest robbery I've ever seen since the 2003 Australian Idol Grand Final.
But
so he was taking the piss out of himself because everyone knows Shannon Knoll was robbed. He's the real true Australian icon. What about me?
Is he though?
What about me?
It isn't fair.
That just reminds me of when Kim's singing it. Oh, no, Sharon's singing it at the Cal's party and she's like, what about me? It isn't fair. And everyone leaves. So I've gone off topic.
Well, back to Aussie Idol. Mm-hmm. I actually think, look, it could go sort of both two ways. I think that, look, it's. I don't think it's going to really get the traction that it used to get back in the day. Because remember, it would like the grand final was held at the Opera House.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was Jats Crackers packed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everyone wanted
didn't
to
Casey Donovan come in like an elephant or something? Don't I know where your head's going? And no,
no, but she had that silly.
Oh yeah,
like
she had the silly. Okay,
thing.
That's where I'm getting it from. I feel and like she's wearing a sari or something.
Look at like Queen Nefertiti's cousin, Queen Nefereti, from Down Under. Yeah.
Wait, can I just pause this for 1 second? I'm just gonna get a small prosecco. All right, and I'm back, and I've got another glass. This is really just a teaser for you all. What happens when we do our drunk podcast? I mean, I'm not drunk, but.
Okay,
she's
so
sipping.
It could be kind of mad though, because now mm-hmm. that we've got like a social media, we're the age of social media.
Yeah.
It could be kind of fun to sort of follow these people on social media because you're voting live as well. You can interact with them live on Instagram and on Facebook and you can, you know what I mean? And if they're artists, like they're singers, they're going to be posting themselves singing online and I'll be like, oh my God, I'm going to watch that show and I'm going to vote for you. You know what I mean? It could be kind of fun.
Do you know what my issue is? I feel like I've just turned off TV. The amount of shows that I used to watch on TV, I don't watch anymore. Didn't watch I'm a Celebrity. Used to love that. And I still rate the show. I used to watch that. I used to watch, what's the other? Survivor.
Yeah.
Hardly watch that anymore. All those shows that were on. I mean, I only started watching Married at First Sight because two people at work, like, you have to watch it. And I was like, fuck, I'm just going to watch it.
Yeah.
Because I knew that we'd talk about this podcast. I saw it. It was more like research for me. But I just watch Netflix now.
I think that, yeah, you give a good point, Dahl.
Mm. Like you watch less TV because now you've got Netflix and there's no ads. You don't have to wait every night. You can sort of pick what you're feeling. You don't have to wait for 7:30 every night sort of thing.
Exactly. No, you're right.
And I feel like TV's becoming obsolete.
Yeah, you're right, because once upon a time, these TV shows would be strategically planned in certain time slots.
And you had nothing else to watch.
Other shows.
Yeah.
So when it got to, 7:30, you'd watch Australian Idol. When it got to 8:30, you'd watch, I don't know, Nip Tuck.
See, I'll go home and...
But now you can't compete with Netflix. Yeah. Because anytime I like, I can watch Golden Girls and Stan. Hath and Kim.
The reason I say that is because I'm literally going to go home and I'm not going to watch Maths. I'll just save that for another night. Who cares? I'll go home and watch Golden Girls.
Yeah. Although I was at home with your mum today and she was not watching Maths because she's like, I've got to wait for Amy to get here. I can't watch it without her.
Oh, God. Now I'm going to have to watch it.
You're going to have to watch it.
I'm slightly tipsy, so continue.
You can take the bottle of Prosecco with you.
Oh, I will. Yes.
Yes.
So, Delta Goodrum Stalker, what's happened with that? So tell me more.
He was fined and there is an AVO.
What do you mean he was fined?
He was fined. You can't go to jail for bringing someone. What's your crime for? Bringing someone a rose and chocolates? No. He's not a criminal. He was just
What's he look like? Does he look like, is he a bit, how's your father?
How do
Are you
I
trying to be polite?
Him?
Can you show me? Show me. Just show me a photo and I will try my best.
I've got to find it.
I've also had 3 glasses of Prosecco, so anything that I say cannot be held against me.
Okay, he doesn't look good. Oh, wait, that's Delta Goodrum.
Please, she's so hot.
Here he is. You ready? He looks like someone who would stalk you.
Okay.
But I really want to know.
Oh, okay. How do I describe him? He looks like an overweight. I don't know what's that overweight, but what? Yeah, an overweight, bulky version of like Barry Hall.
To me, it's a bit of a poor man's Bert Newton.
Bert, he doesn't look like Bert. Bert He's Newton a is birdie. A glamorous man. This guy is wearing an Adidas Raglan shirt with a white backwards cap. He looks like he chain smoked and is disrespectful to women. Probably put his hand at an amateur boxing career once in his life.
Same. Me too. Me too. Okay, so back to this.
Yeah.
Delta Goodrum, we're not going to stalk you anymore.
How does he know where she lives?
Well, it might be public knowledge.
Okay, surely like there's nobody. Where does she live? Sydney?
Yeah.
Sure, I mean, Grafton. Of course she lives in Sydney. Surely there's nobody out there handing like maps to the Hollywood. Back to the Hollywood stars, and then
you know they're bullshit.
And then you can go to Delta. Oh my god, I did one of them once.
They're bullshit.
I did one of those tours once, and it was literally just a bunch of like Hispanic gardeners.
Did you do it in the States?
Yeah,
in Hollywood.
Yeah. I saw a bunch of nice Latino gardeners. I went to Paris Hilton's house, and I saw the balcony of Cameron Diaz's. That was it. It was the most. Bullshit thing. You could have just taken me to a really wealthy suburb, said, hey, look at these big houses. That's where Pauline Hanson lives. Please explain.
Oh, my soundboard. I forgot. I haven't used it all that much.
Oh, my God. I know.
My God.
I've distracted you.
It's not working now. Oh, my computer's on mute. All right.
I
think we need to move on, but we've gotten – so what have we had? So – Nah, cut the last few
I'm
seconds.
Not cutting anything. Stop.
Oh, it's working. What's playing?
What does that keep playing?
It's Delta Goodrum.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
Was it Delta Goodrum at a live performance? All right, we need to wrap this up before I drink too much.
Duet.
In spirit of wrapping this up, I feel like I should just skull this Prosecco.
Go.
Right.
It's more of a sparkling wine. Oh, my God. She done it.
It was quite... Oh, like burns your throat.
Hmm.
It's like I just drank acid.
All right, well, let's close this up.
Oh, now it's all gassy.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Opinionated with Stephen and Amy. As usual, we'd love you to jump on Instagram and give us a follow. It's at the Opinionated Pod. Full of memes. They're really fun. They're really good. No, almost none of them relate to the show, but I think you'd enjoy them.
I'm really glad we're wrapping it up now because I feel like in about 5 minutes I'm going to be too lit to quit.
Yeah. Too lit to quit? That's iconic. And what else have we had this week? We're too lit to quit. Mm-hmm. We've had, what did we talk about first? Caroline.
How did you do?
We've had Love Island, got married at first sight. Hopefully Australian Idol's coming back with Touchdown.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Hi, Mark. My friends are good friends with Dicko's kids. Yeah, they go to same school as cousins. Hi, Mark. Hi, it's Kim. Kim from the Marquee. I've got to stop quoting Kath and Kim. Anyways, thanks, guys. Thanks for coming back and hopefully staying with us. We'll see you next week. I have some really good crime booked in for next week. And,
fashion crimes, more like it.
You are a fashion crime. See you there, guys. Okay, so this has literally just come out. I know that we did just wrap it up.
It's breaking news. 11
minutes ago.
It's hot off the press.
Official Katie Price posted, I've decided to take a break from this horrible media world. I'm absolutely heartbroken. I'm having a dramatic change in my life for the better and I don't want to have to read or see anything in the press about me, my family and friends or my exes. This has all got to stop. I'll be back when I'm ready.
Oh. See, this is the – they do this to Princess Diana.
But you know what? It's not over the media, guys. If you're going to be on social media, please be very conscious of what you're saying and who you're saying it to because you never know who is going to be able to – who's on the other end of that and how much you might just be the final straw that breaks the camel's back.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, we leave you with that. Goodbye.